The pieces are already coming together. This is not a dream. It is forging ahead in communities across America. We turn our attention next to Marco Turbovich, who represents a vast spectrum of hardworking Americans who we don't generally associate with environmentalism. Let's take a listen. And now we direct our attention to Pittsburgh, where we're talking with Marco Turbovich, who's the assistant to the international president of the United Steelworkers of America. Marco, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you, Sydney.
Let's talk about the Apollo Alliance. First of all, your thoughts on this vision and what it may mean to yourself, to your workers, and to your community.
Well, as you may know, Sydney, there's been a tremendous hollowing out of manufacturing, loss of almost 3 million manufacturing jobs over the last several years, and there's been an exodus of quality jobs and a race to the bottom in pursuit of cheaper labor abroad. That's one problem that our economy faces and that workers in the manufacturing sector in particular face. Secondly, there is an enormous need and an enormous public demand for greater energy efficiency and for the pursuit of energy independence, so that not only will we be less dependent on oil per se, but particularly that we'll be less dependent on oil from the Middle East and all the problems that confronts us with in foreign affairs. So the Apollo Alliance has been formed through a rather unique group of labor unions, many of them in the industrial sector, but also in the building trades, in alliance with groups that have historically been working on environmental improvement. And the perspective of the Apollo Alliance is that we can create new quality jobs in the pursuit of energy efficiency and energy independence. And so that's why it's of particular value to us. There's enormous public good can come from this in terms of a cleaner and healthier environment, but also in producing a whole new round of manufacturing innovations, of quality jobs in the manufacturing sector, as well as a lot of work among the building trades in retrofitting buildings and creating more energy efficient buildings. So that's why in particular it's of value to us at the Steelworkers.
Now, steelworkers, I think the American public has an idea of people in foundries, people up on high-rise buildings and other places working with steel. How in the world would this effort to create energy independence really affect that type of work?
Well, first of all, you need to understand something that is not generally known, and that is the Steelworkers Union is one of the more diverse unions in the country. We not only represent the largest number of people in steel production, we represent the largest number of people in the aluminum sector, workers in the aluminum sector. We represent the largest number in the rubber and tire. We also represent the largest number in mining. So all these products that are developed from various metals, from various minerals, or that might be developed in the pursuit of new product lines for energy efficiency and environmental quality have to flow from somewhere. Now, we're also committed that there is such enormous public good that comes from this that there should be a significant public investment over this. And then the Apollo Alliance is named in part after the Apollo Project, which the United States made an enormous investment in its pursuit of outer space exploration. And so likewise now we see the need for domestic exploration of new possibilities for energy efficiency and job growth.
The fact that the Apollo Project of years ago actually succeeded within 10 years is part of the inspiration for the Apollo Alliance. Tell me, do you think that we can get this job done?
Well, I think we can, because I think the old labels don't fit anymore. For instance, people are not widely aware that the Steelworkers Union, more than a decade ago, produced a document called Our Children's World, which called for greater restraints on the degradation of the environment. Now, I don't think anybody would imagine that that is something that would flow from the Steelworkers Union, but that is in fact the case. And if you were to read that document today, what it calls for reads very much like what many environmental organizations are calling for. So there's just a sense that in these industrial societies around the world, we can't continue to degrade the quality of the air and water and soil. And there's also this other need, which is for greater energy efficiency and possibly independence. So when you look at how do you solve more than one problem at one time, when you have job loss in the manufacturing sector in addition to those things, and you see that there's some potential here for an investment at the federal level of the kind that has been made in the past in the railroads, in the airlines, or the airports, in a highway system, and in the Apollo project itself for the exploration of outer space. We have to make a significant investment as a society in the future of our society. And our workers and our members will benefit from that, and the society will benefit from that.
Workers typically are considered the people who produce and go to work. They're not considered necessarily part of the investment community, and yet the truth is, as you say, what we're talking about here is investing in these technologies, and usually with an investment comes a dividend.
Well, actually, what you say is true, but the fact of the matter is that workers themselves in this country are the source of the largest amount of investment funds that exist, and those are in the forms of pension savings, which are indeed the deferred wages of workers. You know, when a union goes in, and as ours does, and negotiates a contract and agrees to a certain amount of pension investment, they are deferring from what would otherwise be wages they would seek. That pool of money is an enormous pool of investment capital in this country. So workers really are investors in a very, very significant way, in point of fact.
Absolutely right. Let's talk about the dividends that would come from the incredible investment in this new technology and the effort that the Apollo Alliance is forging.
Well, the economic studies that have been done by the Apollo Alliance show that if an investment were to be made in the pursuit of new jobs for energy efficiency and independence, you would create upwards of 2 million jobs, and they would be quality jobs. They would be steam fitters, they would be sheet metal workers, they would be production workers, they would be auto workers. If you're one of the major elements here is the pursuit of hybrid and high efficiency automobiles. So there's enormous potential for quality job creation out of this process. Instead of just simply subjecting ourselves to the mendacity of the global marketplaces, as seems to be currently the way that policy is pursued, largely because of flawed trade policies in this country.
Let's talk about on the ground. How are members of your union reacting to the Apollo vision?
Well, we're in the early stages of doing briefings with people about what the purposes and the mission of the Apollo Alliance is. So the reaction is generally positive. I mean, you know, the public gets way out ahead of policymakers in any number of ways. And, you know, to the public this is no shock, but it seems to be a shock always to our media elites. The public has an enormous regard for the value of manufacturing and is deeply troubled. In fact, we did, with the folks from Apollo, the steelworkers going back about a year and a half, did some polling in nine battleground states, of voters in nine battleground states, and found that there's enormous public support, bipartisan support even, for the investment of the kind that we're talking about. And, you know, you're talking about $30 billion a year for 10 years if the maximum investment were to be made in an Apollo project of the kind we're talking about. So this, the public's there. It's the political elites that need to catch up with where the public is on this. And for us, the job is to go out and educate our members through our publications, through our various conferences, and through presentations to our members. Our members are very keenly aware of it. As I mentioned, you know, our members voted in convention to endorse and support our children's world over a decade ago with these recommendations for a commitment to cleaning up the environment. So it's not like our members need to be schooled on this. They just need some basic information on the particulars of the Apollo project, and we're in the process of providing that.
Well, it is a perfect example of extraordinary common sense. And common sense I like to think of in terms of the sense that unites us all. It is a common sense that this is what we need to get done. If we don't do this, what is the prospect for the American workers, particularly in your economic sector?
Well, the prospect of the American workers in the absence of some progressive initiatives like this is very clear, because it's before our very eyes. We're at a very low savings rate. Real wages are either declining or flat. We're arguing and debating whether or not we should raise the minimum wage in this country to an absurdly low level of $7.25. And that's a political and somewhat partisan debate. You have debt levels higher than they've ever been. You've got credit levels skyrocketing, and the whole economy has been propped up by people really recapitalizing their home investments in the middle class, for which there are significant consequences in retirement. So we'll continue to go in this direction toward greater debt, lower savings, flat real wages, and disappearing manufacturing jobs. Over time, particularly on the manufacturing side, there's a hollowing out of innovation when that happens. Robert Solow, who is a Nobel-winning economist, has written that he believes that as many discoveries and productivity increases take place on the shop floor as may have taken place in research and development labs. So as you lose those jobs and as you lose those practices, those best practices from the shop floor, you lose a lot more than the jobs. You lose a certain amount of blood knowledge about manufacturing, about innovation, about productivity. And productivity is beginning to flatten out now as well. And there was a surge of productivity over the last 10 years that is in decline now. So we'll see more of the same, which is why change is necessary, which is why progress is necessary, which is why investment is necessary. And we've gone through this, you know, historically in our country when we've gone through periods of reactionary leadership, and it's run us into some very serious and dire economic times. And I think you're seeing more and more of that. I just saw a report that consumer confidence is down. Well, there's a reason for that. People live in reality. They don't live in Washington.
As we look out to the global community as well, it seems as if other nations are really aggressively moving forward in these realms. Why are we not?
I think, first of all, there is enormous influence from the oil industry and the utility industry and the minerals industries in this country that resists change of a progressive nature. And secondly, those sources of corporate interest really finance a great deal of political campaigns. And unfortunately, you know, our current president comes from the heartland of those economic forces and interests. And so we're not only moving in those directions, we're trying to turn the clock backwards in any number of ways. Investments by the federal government is not even something that's seriously discussed when you're talking about giving away billions of dollars largely to the top of the food chain in form of tax cuts. So there's got to be change in a lot of ways, not only change in policy, but change in political leadership. And in the meantime, those of us who aspire to create these changes just have to work more aggressively at educating the public and our constituent supporters about what those changes needed to be and what those investments need to be. And that's what we're about doing in the Apollo Alliance. And that's what the Steelworkers has been about and will continue to be about.
Strangely enough, as these issues are addressed by the politicians, it seems to me their mandate is to serve the American public, the people who elect them. But strangely enough, decisions that are being made are not protecting the American workers in America. So really, this isn't a political issue. This is an American issue.
It is an American issue, but all issues are ultimately political because people who get elected to office vote on them. I think that one of the reasons there's a great deal of cynicism in the public right now toward politicians and toward the political issues is that so much of the elected officialdom of this country is in the grip of campaign finance by major contributors of all sorts. And the corporate community just enjoys enormous advantages in that regard. I mean, enormous amounts of money are thrown by various industries or the Chamber of Commerce in lobbying to either retain the benefits that they receive that may be roadblocks to progress, or to even increase the number of benefits they have to the exclusion of the public interest. So we just have to struggle to change those things. And, you know, that's a tough struggle given the campaign finance laws in this country.
This is a very much an American issue because America is suffering right now.
One need only look at the news this morning that, you know, that energy prices and oil prices are rapidly accelerating again and will surpass $2 again. And there have been business analysts who I've read recently in publications as conservative as Barron's who've alluded to $60 and $70 a barrel oil prices in the near term before we get too far down the line. So there's an economic reality that's sitting in here about the cost of oil and the supply of oil that we have to address. And we can't wait to be confronted with those emergency circumstances to be begin thinking about how to invest in ways that will alleviate the stress that's going to be created by the decline in those supplies, the demand that it will create, and the price increases that will flow from those demands.
Which brings us kind of full circles around to the fact that the Apollo Alliance, in this process of investing, actually strengthens our economy.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, it's hard to have a strong economy when people don't have decent paying jobs. Our vision of the economy of the steelworkers isn't just what the returns are on investments in the stock market or even investments by the federal government. They have to do with the implications of those investments for the well-being of the public and for our members in particular, but certainly for the general public. And when you have significant job growth, as we had in the 60s and after World War II, when you had a commitment to the American middle class and you had a federal commitment to make major investments in the airports, in the highways, and in various forms of public development from the 40s and 50s and 60s on into the 70s, you had a much better quality of life for the average middle class person. And that's changing. And, you know, it's only a matter of time before those changes weigh sufficiently upon people to create some reaction in the electorate. And I think that, frankly, I think much of that reaction is already there. It's just been sublimated somewhat by the circumstances about national security.
These are complex times. What are the next steps? How can we move this whole Apollo Alliance vision forward?
Well, the Apollo Alliance is moving projects at the state level. A lot of what the federal government ultimately concludes is necessary actually percolates up from innovations at the state level. So Apollo is working in Pennsylvania, it's working in Michigan, it's working in Wisconsin and a number of other states to try and press forward at the state level projects that will lead to these sorts of developments. There needs to be a lot of energy invested at the grassroots level in the states. Governors are being approached by the Apollo Alliance about pursuing projects that will set a standard for this kind of development and investment. And as that obtains over time, we think we'll begin to see much more responsiveness from the Congress and from the federal government over these issues.
Marko Turbovich, I want to thank you for adding your voice. Marko is the assistant to the international president of the United Steelworkers of America. Thanks for being on the Wild Side News.
I've always been on the Wild Side, Sydney.
You're my friend. Let's talk again, and good luck to us all.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thanks, Marko. So how will these new jobs find their way into our lives? Can such a greening help communities? Where will the jobs appear? And how will this affect our families and friends? We find out when we return here on the Wild Side News.